10:07 here on a Feel Good Friday on the Chris Berg Show on the We the People Network. As always, wherever you are and however you may be listening, thank you for making me part of your Feel Good Friday. Number to call in, 888-598-8464, locally 271-1100. You can email me, talk, T-A-L-K, talk at chrisbergshow.com. Being tuned in right here on AM 1100, The Flag. Incredible story I want to share with you. And I just thought it was perfect for a Feel Good Friday story in the context of some of the things that have taken place as of late. With me in studio, Vince Olsted and his wife, Jackie. She may or may not be part of the show, unless she chooses to. But Vince, I don't want to steal any of your thunder, so I just want you to sort of share your story with people, and we'll kind of go from there. But let's open with that, please.
Well, thank you, Chris, so very much for the opportunity to be here this morning. I have never, I guess, viewed myself as someone who would be much of a public presenter, but I have felt so blessed by what has happened to me over the last 2.5 years that I do feel a certain compelling, I guess, to share with as many people as possible, because I think all of us at some time or another go through hard times, difficult times, times we would choose to avoid if we had the choice in life. And this may have been one of those for me. I guess it was the morning of June 2nd of 2009 dawned a beautiful summer morning here in North Dakota. I got up early and drove out to Carrington, the company that I work for. We had a project review meeting scheduled for that day out in Carrington. And since I was that far west in the state, I thought I would get down to some field research plots that I had established down near Steele as well. I was doing some work with some projects in Sunflower. And my youngest son had graduated from high school just 9 days earlier, and he and his high school baseball team had made it into the state playoffs that year in Jamestown. And so he and his team were having their annual spring banquet the following evening, and I definitely wanted to get back in time for that. But I had some projects that needed to be done out at this field location by Steele. So after the meeting in Carrington was over late in the afternoon, I drove out to Steele and spent the evening working in my field research plots there. And then about probably 9:30 or 9:45, I packed things up and was going to be heading back to Fargo. I'm assuming I stopped at the truck stop there in Steele, which was usually my habit to fuel up my pickup and grab a sandwich and a bottle of juice for the ride back to Fargo. Shortly after I got on the interstate, headed east back to Fargo, I believe it's near the Robinson exit, but it's between the Steele and Dawson exits. There's a hill with a curve, and I was going up that hill, and apparently there was a semi-truck in front of me, and with the combination of the semi-truck and the hill and the curve, I was unaware that there was a vehicle heading directly towards me in my lane, headed west in the eastbound lanes. And it was a local individual that had gotten on the off-ramp at the Dawson exit and was heading west in the eastbound lanes. And like I say, I couldn't see it. And we happened to meet at the apex of the hill and in a head-on collision. And we were both driving 3/4-ton pickups, and I'm assuming going full road speed when we collided head-on. He was deceased at the scene. I have no memory of the accident, so everything that I know of it now has been pieced together from what people have told me, but the emergency responders from Kidder County were called and arrived on the scene and cut me out of the pickup and into the ambulance and took me into Med Center 1 in Bismarck, where I spent 3 weeks before being stabilized and then airlifted back to Fargo.
And he was under the influence, the gentleman that...
Yes, that's correct. Yeah. According to the Highway Patrol report that we received several months after the accident, he had a little bit over three times the legal limit of blood alcohol content at the time of the accident. Although there was no evidence of any containers or anything like that in his vehicle, so it's still, I guess, a bit of a mystery probably where that had originated, but he was under the influence at the time of the accident.
If you just joined us, you're listening to the Chris Berg Show here on the We the People Network. Vince Olsted is with me in the PetroServe USA studio, his wife Jackie as well, and I wanted to bring him in. And it's interesting because it's a very, to me, inspirational story. We're going to talk about how do you deal with this kind of situation in a moment. But he and I have been talking about having him come in now for, you know, fair decent of time. And then obviously the situation happened with the four NDSU girls, the young lady from Oaks. You see earlier in the week where Chief Turnus out of Fargo here talks about how DUI is still up in this area. So I think it definitely creates some context for people, especially going into the weekend, to be aware of just obviously how serious this can be. And so let's talk about what happens while you're in this coma. You come out of it. How do you begin to come back and deal with the situation at hand?
Well, that is a good question there, Chris. As you are aware, now I am totally blind as a result of the accident. I lost a very significant amount of blood. The emergency room surgeon in Bismarck has told me that they went through a total of 55 units of blood before they were able to get me stabilized and all of the internal bleeding stopped. They didn't expect me to live through the night. By the time the ambulance crew got me into the hospital, my kidneys and lungs had already started to shut down, and they really didn't expect me to make it through the night. I did, and they worked on me for, I think, probably 12 hours straight there. Just an amazing set of medical staff that I've had available to me, Chris, and I'm so thankful for them. And but of course, I was in a coma this entire time. I was in a coma for 5 weeks after the accident, so it really wasn't until after I was airlifted back to Fargo and had been in Triumph Hospital here for about 2 weeks that they started to bring me out of the coma. And you know, coming out of a coma is not a single event; it's more of a process. And I was drifting in and out, and that happened. I was coming out of the coma the same time as Michael Jackson's death. And I can remember hearing the radio or the TV in the background with this constant reports of Michael Jackson's death. But it probably was well after the 4th of July that I fully came out of it and was fully cognizant and aware. And it is quite a surprise to, you know, realize you're laying down someplace, it's totally black, I hear voices coming out of the darkness, and what in the world has happened, what's going on? And my wife was beside me most of the time, and she was there when I became clear enough for it to register with me what had happened. And I don't know that I could immediately process it because it was such a shock, and it was a matter of several weeks that I had to work with this and face certain questions, I guess, in my mind as far as how I was going to respond to this. And I can honestly say that in all of that time and in all of these ensuing months, I don't think that I have ever really hit a period of deep, dark depression or anger or bitterness or anything like that. It's not that I haven't had short bouts of those, but God was so faithful in pressing in my mind his promises, his faithfulness, and forcing me really to deal with some specific questions that I needed to face at that time. And I really believe that for anybody going through any kind of difficult time in life, there is much good that can come out of it, but we have to be in a bit of a position where we will allow that to happen.
It's all about perspective and, would you say, attitude as well?
Yes, I think so. I think attitude is critical. I don't want to take any credit for my attitude because, again, I think it is a result of some of the foundational principles maybe that we claim as personal in our lives. I can't imagine going through what I went through without having a foundational relationship with God, myself, and built my life and beliefs on his principles and biblical principles and promises there.
Vincent, when we come back, I want you to talk about how much faith impacted you to pull you through this, how it helped you respond, obviously with your relationship with your wife as well. And if you can't, even almost sort of in the context, you know, you hear now Rick Santorum begin to come out and talk about the power of faith and family. And obviously he's getting beaten up in the media like crazy about that. And just how important that's been for you and what's that's done, obviously, to help maybe you guys as a couple and things like that. Okay, so we're going to take a very short break. Number to call in, 271-1100. Again, if you just joined us, Vince Alstead is in studio. I think just an incredible story about how things can happen. I like what he said. Hey, everything happens for a reason, depending, obviously, on how you can have some perspective on it. So stay close. It's the Chris Berg Show on the We the People Network, live from the PetroServe USA studio. Coming up on 1021 here on the Chris Berg Show on the We the People Network. Number to call in, 271-1100. With me inside the PetroServe USA studios, Vince Alstead and his wife, Jackie. An incredible story. If you're just tuning in, he went through a horrendous car accident, was in a coma for quite some time, is now completely blind. And one of the things you mentioned, Vince, before we went to break was how you kind of came through and everything was black and you had all these questions going through your head. What were some of those questions?
Well, probably the first one that became very strong in my mind, Chris, was, okay, I have personally professed to be a Christian for a number of years in my life. You know, this is really going to be a time for me to determine if God is really who he says he is. And if, in fact, all of the promises that are available to me and to us in his word are, in fact, true. And then it struck me that I'd better be willing to ask the question that was probably on the other side of that same coin was, am I who I have professed to be? And that made me probably stop and think a lot more hard than testing God. Because if I have professed to be the kind of person that I thought I was and wanted to be known as, then I had some responsibility as well in that. And so that really helped me work through mentally and intellectually the situation that I was faced with. And throughout this entire time, my wife and I were literally inundated with support and encouragement. My colleagues at work were just outstanding in going to bat and picking up for the slack that was created, so to speak, by my accident, and coming to our personal aid and assistance in many ways. Our fellow church members, friends, family, the Caring Bridge website that was set up on my behalf, my wife would come in at the end of each day and read the entries that had been posted that day, and it literally brought tears to my eyes that I was getting this kind of a response from people that I didn't even know. And so there were so many things that were just working certainly in my favor to help me deal with the acceptance of the results of the accident. My pelvis had been broken in 8 locations, and I was strapped into an external fixator to keep my hips from moving during the period of the pelvis healing up. And, of course, flat on my back in the hospital, couldn't move, couldn't turn. My muscles were totally deconditioned, and ultimately I had to learn to walk again. And so, but I can really say that I think I tribute God with challenging me with some of those questions that I had to decide if I was going to deal with them honestly or if I was going to try and fool myself, which obviously there's no point in doing that. There's no value in trying to fool yourself.
The one thing, Vince, that shocks me as I hear you speak, and I feel like the Lord's given me pretty good wisdom about people as I've prayed about that, is that I don't really hear any anger from you. Have you worked through that? Did you ever have that?
Well, yes. I've certainly dealt with bouts of anger, Chris, on this, but it is one of the things that I can look back on and say, you know, any long-term deep or residual anger or bitterness, I have not felt anything like that. And again, I think part of it came to me as God pressed his thoughts and his presence in and around me, is that there was nothing that I was going through or could ever go through which would even compare to what his son, Christ, Jesus of Nazareth, went through on my behalf.
Go ahead, Vince.
So how could I complain about what I was going through? And I do believe that the accident, we use the word accident. I don't believe it was an accident. You know, it was too, the circumstances that had to come together at that point in time were too bizarre to be called an accident. If it was an accident, then that God that I have professed to believe in and follow for all these years isn't really as big or powerful as what I had thought he was. And I do believe he could have overridden any one of those set of circumstances that came together. But he chose to allow it for some reason. And if he allowed it for a purpose, then I think ultimately he wants me to get to the point where I accept blindness and lameness and disability as a gift.
And have you gotten to that point yet?
I think I'm very close. A lot of it has come within even the last month or two, Chris, by some opportunities that I've had. In many ways, my life is better than it was before the accident. There's so many more things that I have been able to experience, so many new people, great people that I have been able to have introduced into my circle of life that I never would have had before. And going through hard times, I often say, gives us a set of credentials that we did not possess before. And with that new set of credentials, oftentimes comes or can come new opportunities and hopefully opportunities to help others on this path of life.
Vince Alstead here in the Petros Review USA studio, his wife Jackie. Jackie, we've got just a couple moments, but I want to get your thoughts on, you get this phone call, rush to the hospital. Obviously, you see your husband in the state that he's in. What goes through your mind when you get that call, and how have you dealt with it?
I think that getting a call at 1:10 a.m. is kind of the dreaded thing that most people would never look forward to. But I have to say that getting that call, I immediately went into a mode of, okay, what do we need to do to get there? Our son had just gotten in the door. Normally, he didn't stay up that late, but for some reason, he was with a friend and walked in the door as I was completing this phone call that had come to tell me about Vince's accident. And immediately, I said, told him what had happened. It had been an accident. I wasn't given really much information other than, if I were you, I would come right now, were the words of the nurse on the other end of the phone call. And so we just threw some clothes together, didn't know how long we'd be gone, and off we went. My son did the driving. And I think getting there, we probably were in shock. I think for the first few days, I was in shock. We just kind of were in automatic mode, meeting with the doctors, making decisions about all the different procedures that need to be made, signing all the forms. Contacting family to let them know what was going on. What really helped me that first week was every day I had two friends come and spend the day with me. From Fargo, they would drive to Bismarck, spend the day. The next day, there would be two more friends. After a few days, my son, who had just graduated from high school, was looking for a job, hadn't found one yet. He needed to go back. So to have those friends there was a huge, huge support. The medical staff was just a huge support. We had a the trauma doctor was just wonderful. He kept me informed, gave me the details in a way that I could understand them, spent time with me, didn't ever make me feel like just a number, was just wonderful, as well as the rest of the staff. Then after that first week or so, the initial shock wears off and you find out the reality of what has happened. And one of the things that's been really hard for me to grapple with is I was, for the most part, a stay-at-home mom until the boys were teenagers, and I worked just part-time. And I felt like I had sacrificed some of my own personal interests and desires to be a stay-at-home mom. And Vince had traveled a lot, as he had said, so I kind of was alone a lot. And realizing I had put off a lot of things that I thought down the road, once I was empty nester, I would have time to do, which has not happened. And so that's been hard for me to grapple with, some things that I thought I would be able to do. And now I basically am a caretaker and pretty much responsible for most things in and outside of our home. But again, God has shown me that he is in control and he has my best interests at heart. And I could never plan my life any better than what God has. And just to come to accept that God has better plans for me than I could ever make on my own. And that's taken time to accept, and I must say that there are days when I still am resentful. But for the most part, I see that God has, like Vince has said, given us opportunities we could have never had before. It's been a challenge to go from being alone a lot and my husband traveling and being in charge to having him around almost 24 hours a day. But there's been some good from that, too. And so I guess the other thing I would like to say, as long as I'm getting my 2 cents worth in here today, is that my faith in God ultimately is what has to get me through. Because, yes, I had friends there. Yes, we had family. We have neighbors that help. But eventually they go back to their own lives and their own jobs. And they cannot be there for you all the time. So you have to fall back on something else. And that's when your faith comes into play. And know that God will be there for you no matter what. And he never leaves us.
And I think one of the things, too, is you look at faith as sort of a muscle, and you go through an experience like this, and it only strengthens it, even though it may be tough and challenging and go through resentment and whatnot. But I think it strengthens that. And I think one of the key things I'm taking away from what you're sharing is we talked about this even when we mentioned about the NDSU situation, and I said, I just can't fathom. I've got a 2-year-old daughter. I can't fathom having that happen. And yet how we as humans think that we can control so much, and you go through a situation like Vince, and you realize there's so little that we control. Vince, anything else you want to share, sir? And
well, that many of those same thoughts came to my mind earlier this week with the news of those tragic accidents early in the week, Chris. And I know I cannot comprehend the pain and the hurt and the grief that those families are going through right now. If I could talk to them individually and just be there with them, I would say you can't see right off the bat how anything good can come out of some situations like that in life that are totally beyond our control. But I firmly believe that It is out of consequences that virtues arise. Without consequences in our life, we don't have the response or the opportunity to, in a sense, be faced with how we are going to respond to those situations. And so many things in life will always be out of our control. And we just need to realize that, accept it, and ultimately, hopefully, we'll be able to see some good things that can come out of them. So,
Vince and Jackie, thanks so much for your time. God bless you both, and continue to strengthen your faith. We'll have you back and share some more as you continue to, I'm sure, grow and develop that, okay?
Well, thank you very much for this opportunity, Chris. I've certainly been honored and privileged to be here with you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you both.